Okay, here we go. Perek He of Sefer Yehoshua. This perek is jam-packed both in terms of the story and in terms of the halacha and in terms of the chazals that we have based on it. And let's see what we have time to talk about. So at the beginning of Perek He, the Torah tells us that there is a reaction that was forecast already at the end of last week's parsha. That the end of the last perek, the end of perek Dalet, when we spoke about the Malbim and the Nitziv, that the Kriya, the splitting of the Yardim, was going to affect the other nations. So the Pasuk Aleph says that yes, it was affected all the other nations. Their heart melted, and at that time Hashem says to Yoshua, okay, now that Bnei Yisrael have crossed over, it's time for them to get Bris Milah. We'll get into the details. And Yoshua ben Nun gives Bris Milah to all of Klal Yisrael because they hadn't gotten Milah in 39 years. And this was something that was going to hold them back from partaking of the Korban Pesach. Remember, they went in on the 10th day of Nisan, and the Korban Pesach was going to be brought on the 14th, on Yudalad. So that's why Yeshua ben Nun gave all of them Bris Milah. Hashem says, fine, now that you have done Bris Milah, it's time to do the Korban Pesach. And Bnei Yisrael all fulfill the mitzvah of Korban Pesach that year, the 14th of Pesach, and the next day, after the second day of Pesach, they partake of the new grain. Right up until that point, it was the Isser of Chadash. We know the Isser, one is not allowed to eat of any of the grains of the new year until after the second day of Pesach, after the Karban Omer is brought. So that's why on that day, after the day that the Karban Omer is brought, they started eating from the Chadash, and the Navi tells us that that's when the man stopped. We'll have to talk about exactly what does that mean, that the month stopped. But it says, Vayishpos Ami Macharas, the next day, the second day of Pesach, the month stopped, and that's why they ate from the Tfuos Haaretz. The parak ends off with a mysterious story of Yehoshua and the Sar Tzva Hashem. Yehoshua is outside of Yericho. He sees a Ish Omeid Lenegdo. He sees someone standing opposite him with a sword. Yehoshua says, who are you? He says, I'm a Sar Tzva Hashem, which Rashi says is Michael HaMalach. Yehoshua falls on his face and says, why are you here? Shal Narechel Ma'al Raglecha. He says, remove your shoes. And that's it. That's how the parak ends, by saying that there was no conversation between them other than appearing to him. And it says Yericho was Sogeres and Musugeres. Yericho was closed up and there was no way of approaching or conquering. That's the end of the story. Okay, so let's talk about some of these important issues in this jam-packed parak. So the parak starts off, you remember, a fulfillment of the end of the previous parak. The Malchei Emori that were in Eretz Yisrael and Malchei Kenani heard about what happened. Now Hashem dried up the Meyardain, Mipnei Bnei Yisrael, and their hearts were melted, and they were very nervous about what was going to be. There is a beautiful thought about the Ksiv and the Kri in that Pasuk. In Pasuk Aleph, the Torah tells us that they were scared that Hashem had dried up the Meyardain, Mipnei Bnei Yisrael, Ad Avram. The Kri is until, Hashem dried it up, until they all passed through. But if you look in the Ksiv, Ad Avreinu, until we pass through, explains the Ramah is a commentary on the Megillas Esther called the Mechir Yayin. At the end, in Paraktes of that commentary, the Ramah writes that it's not only an idea that we know, that we're familiar with from Pesach, Chayav Adam Liru says Atzmo, Ki'ilu Hu Yatzami Mitzrayim. That's not the only time we're supposed to feel as if something historically happened, but every time we re-experience a Yantif, we're supposed to feel as if we're going through it. Kriyas Yamsuf, every morning when we say Az Yashir, we know we're supposed to feel as if we are on the Yamsuf. So, an allusion to that is right here. Until Adav Reinu, Avarnu, until we pass through. So it's Avram, we read it, because that's what actually happened. But we have to feel it as if we pass through. That is the hint in the Ksiv of the Pasuk. So, Bo'esahi, at that time, Hashem says to Yeshua, make for yourself charvos tsurim, make for yourself knives, and do bris milah. There is a big discussion in the poskim that we will not get into now in terms of what is best lechachila to use for bris milah. Is it metal? Is it a sharp knife? Is it a rock? So the stories in Tanakh that are quoted related to that sugya is, of course, the story in Sefer Shmos relating to Tzipora taking a tzor, and this one, charvos tsurim, and the poskim describe what is the best to use for Mila. But we're going to focus on the Radak here. The Radak says, why? Right, the major question that Chazal asked. Yeah, read these psukim. Bris Mila is one of the 613 mitzvos. Why didn't Bnei Yisrael get Bris Mila in the Midbar? Only here, year 1 and year 40. That's it. What happened? Why didn't they get Bris Mila in the all of the years? So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Yevamos Daf Ayin Beis, the Radak quotes it, that during the 40 years that Bnei Yisrael were in the Midbar, there was no Ruach Tzifonis. The northern wind did not blow. Why didn't it blow? Because the Anani HaKavod were surrounding Klal Yisrael. And if the wind would have blown, it would have spread and made the clouds dissipate. And the Gemara tells us that the Ruach Tzfonis is the medicinal, is the healing wind, and because that couldn't blow, the healing wasn't there, so that's why Bnei Yisrael did not do Bris Mila, because it was a sakana. Bizman Hazet, the Gemara says, Kiva the Dashu Barabim, nowadays, we do Bris Mila if it's windy outside, if it's not windy outside, Shem Repsoim Hashem. But that's what we do. That is what the Gemara says. Ask the Radak the obvious question, how could, the Anani HaKavod was an ace. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have had the Anani HaKavod and made them stay, even if there wasn't a Ruach Tzfonis. Im Yomar Adam, Yachol Hayel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, La Shiv Ruach Tzfonis, V'lizvadru Anani HaKavod, V'lotvato Mitzvahs Mila, says the Radak. So he says, Emesu, yes, Hashem could have done that. Hashem could do whatever he wants. But Hashem did one nace. He did a miracle of the creation of the Anani HaKavod. To now go one step further, is to make another nace that these clouds don't dissipate when there is a wind. What would be the purpose of that nace? What do you need that nace for? You need the Anani HaKavod for protection. What do you need the purpose of the extra to allow Klal Yisrael to do a mitzvah? So Hashem doesn't do nisim just to allow Klal Yisrael to do a mitzvah. That's not enough of its tzarech. Uba'aver herech zman ha-mitzvah lo yishana HaKadosh Baruch Hu min haga'olam. Even though he does change nature, Kriyas Yamsuf and the Yarden and Amidas Hashemesh, that's when they need a Hatzalah, but just to allow them to do a mitzvah that is not what is usually done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is exactly what makes the Nes of Chanukah, which many of you are thinking, so special. The Pnei Yeshua notes in the second parak of Masechta Shabbos, on the Chaf Aleph, in the Sugyos of Chanukah, well-known questions about Chanukah. Why do we even need the Nes of the Bach HaShemen? Tuma, Hutra, Betzibur. We could have used Tameh oil. And yet, Hashem did the Nes for us to allow us to use Tar oil. So why is that? So we'll get to Beshem another answer later. But what does the Pnei Yeshua say? In Achinami, we didn't need it. But it's to show the chavivas, show the love that Hashem had for us, dafka at that time in history, when the Greeks were saying, Kisvu al karen ashar she'in lachem achelik b'elokei Yisrael. They were trying to undermine the idea of segula, the idea of a special relationship that we have. Remember, the Greeks did not destroy the Beis HaMikdash, they just made it Tameh. They went around and made it Tameh. They said, you have your temple, we have our temple, you have nothing special about your temple. So Dafka, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to perform this Nes in order to show that He loves us. And to relate again to this Radak. And Hashem usually does not do Nisim just to allow us to do mitzvahs earlier or better. And here He did, because that showed the Chavivas of this Nes. Number one. Number two, the other idea the Radak mentions is more practical. Obviously, the Gemara gives its own reason. He says the Yesh Lafarish, another reason, is because they were traveling. And traveling is always dangerous for somebody who's sick. And they never knew when they would travel. Al pi Hashem yachadu, al pi Hashem yiso. And they didn't know when they would travel. That's why, because of the Sakonas HaDerech, they did not give their children Bris Mila. So why in Sefer Shmos does Hashem get so mad at Moshe? Moshe Rabbeinu was also traveling, and he didn't give Bris Mila to his son, and obviously Hashem got upset at him. The answer, says the Radak, is because there Hashem told him to go. He should have given Bris Mila first to his son, waited a couple of days, and then gone. So he already delayed it from beforehand, and that was a problem. If the Mishpat Zav talks about, I'm sorry, the Musar Nevi'im. Mr. Nevi'im, Rabbi Ginsburg talks about, so why is it? We know that, what does the Radak number two here say? It was dangerous. But we know, Chazal tell us on the Pasuk in Kizos HaBracha, Uverischa Yinsoru, that you, Sheva Levi, guarded the Bris. Sheva Levi did Bris Mila in the Midbar. They did. They said, I don't care if it's dangerous. We're going to be Moser Nefesh. We'll do it anyway. So the whole Sheva did it. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu do it? What, Sheva Levi was more Moser Nefesh than Moshe Rabbeinu? So explains the Musar Nevi'im, a beautiful Davar Nifla. The Rambam tells us, in Hilchos Yisodi HaTorah, this is a machlokas Rishonim, but the Rambam tells us that we know there are the big three. The big three that we have to give our lives for, Yahari Val Yavar. What if somebody wants to volunteer something other than the big three? Nobody wants to volunteer. The Rambam holds usur. Usur. You're not allowed to volunteer. One of the big three, v'chai bohem. I asked the Kesef Mishnah, what do you do with stories like Elisha Bal Kanafayim, the Gemara Masechah Shabbos, where someone was moser nefesh for the mitzvah of tefillin, and other stories? So explains the Nemuki Yosef, and explains others, the Kesef Mishnah quotes it, that if somebody is a Gadol Hador, somebody who would make a Roshim in the entire generation, so then they could, even the Rambam would agree that you could volunteer non-big three. So says the Moser HaNeviim. So the Sheva Levi knew they were the leaders of Klal Yisrael. So they were Moser Nefesh for this, and they were volunteering. Moshe Rabbeinu himself was the Anav Mikol Adam. He didn't think he was so great. He didn't think he was so amazing. So that's why he didn't do it for his son. Especially there, at that time in history, where he was just Moshe then. He wasn't even the leader of Klal Yisrael, even though Hashem told him to go back. Okay, beautiful ideas. Let's continue now. So Hashem tells Moshe, make charvos tzurim, get the knives, vishuv mol es b'nei Yisrael shenis. And then do bris milah shenis. What does shenis mean? Pashas means a second time. This was the only time since the first year that they had bris milah. That's what shenis means. The Gemara, though, has another idea what shenis means. That means the second, even the people who had bris milah, shenis. What does that mean? They already had bris milah. So this is the Gemara in Maseches Yevamos. The Gemara tells us, and it's also a Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer in Perachav Tes, that Avram Avinu was given the mitzvah of bris milah, and all the way down to Moshe, but he was not given the mitzvah, the part of the second half of the mitzvah of milah. Milah is the cutting of the foreskin, but also the pulling back of the foreskin, the priya, the pulling back. Says the Gemara in Yevamos, Ayin Aleph and Mabez, Lo Nitzana Priyas Milo LaAvram Avinu, Shneamar Bo'Eisa Hi Amar Hashem Al Yeshua Asei Lecha Charvos Tzurim V'Chulu Mezurim and Dilma Malos Bnei Yisrael Shenis. Do it Shenis, do it again. Meaning you didn't do it fully the first time. So this is an allusion that they didn't do Priya yet. So even though Pashas this means the second time, it might mean a second stage. Tosfos there says in Yevamos, obviously Avram Avinu did Priya, even though he wasn't mitzuvah. He did all mitzvahs, ad shalom nitna, as the Gemara says in Yuma, even Erev Tavshilin. But he did all the mitzvahs, but he just wasn't commanded. V'yim Tamar asked Tosfos, if Priya wasn't commanded until Yeshua, how could Yeshua get it from Hashem first? Right, the Gemara says, Einavi Rashay Lechadish Dover Me'ata, there are no new mitzvahs from a Navi. So Tosfos said, it's really a halacha Moshe Mi'Sinai. It was really like Moshe Mi'Sinai, but part of like Moshe Mi'Sinai might have been that it's not needed and the mitzvah to be done until later in history, until the times of Yehoshua. Right, that's how we understand halacha Moshe Mi'Sinai. And this is something that maybe we'll talk about in another time. Two types of halacha Moshe Mi'Sinai is according to Reb Chaim in Hilchos Ma'acholos Asuros. This is a halacha Moshe Mi'Sinai that is redefining an existing mitzvah. What he calls a halacha Moshe Mi'Sinai hamifareshes. There is a beautiful musar that we get from this though. Priya, according to this, was only given to Yoshua ben Nun right before they went into Eretz Yisrael. That's how the Ramban on that Gemara discusses. The Ramban says, "Besofar on Yevamos Ayin Aleph, besofar boim shana nitztava Moshe la ba'arvos moav." That's when Moshe was given this mitzvah at the end, or al pi adibur nitztavu la'asosam b'knisas on la'aretz, right before Knisa Laretz, you needed this. What does Priya have to do with Knisa Laretz? Dafka, they needed to do this now. Priya is about Gilui. It's about revealing. In Eretz Yisrael, that's where Bnei Yisrael has to be Nigla. They have to be revealed, a revealed light unto the nations. That is the ultimate place where they're supposed to be and perform this function of being a Mamlechas Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. And that's the message of the Ramban and this discussion that Priya might have only been commanded only later. Good. So the Pasuk tells us that Yeshua went and did the Bris Milah, and the Pasuk describes, Pasuk A, why did Yeshua have to do it? Ki mulim hayu kol am hayotzim. Everyone who came out of Mitzrayim had a Bris Milah. V'chol hayam hayilode b'midbar, but everybody was born in the Midbar, but they're called Mitzrayim lo malu. So you read the Pasuk, it seems to just be saying the history. The Mitzudas David emphasizes a point. He says it's not just historic, but it's giving a halachic reason here. In his view, and this is what the Radak discusses, he says that he doesn't think it's literal. In his view, Yoshua ben Nun did the Milah himself to all of Klal Yisrael, because he was Mahul, and only a Mahul could do Milah. We don't paskin that way in the Gemara. Maybe even an Aral Yisrael could do Milah. But that's how he, the Mesudas David, reads this Pasuk. And the Mefarshim try to figure out what he does halacha l'maisa, if we don't paskin that way. But he says that's why Yeshua had to do it. Right, Pashas is that he took care of it, meaning once he gave Bris Milah, meaning even if not, he had other people help him it would be pretty miraculous for one person to give bris milah for all of them. Okay, in any case, they all get bris milah, and all of the earlier men who had bris milah died because they sinned with the meraglim, and that's why Hashem does not bring them into Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash. So, when everybody gets bris milah, Vayomar Hashem al Yoshua, Hashem says to Yoshua in Pasuk Tes, Hayom galosi escharpas Mitzrayim me'aleichem. Today, I have removed, through your help, Yoshua, I have removed the disgrace of Egypt from amongst, from on you. What is the disgrace of Egypt? So Pashas, it means the Milah. Pashas, it means you have done Bris Milah, and the other nations, including Mitzrayim, they had foreskins, so now you are different than them. You are different. I have separated you from the other nations. That's the simple understanding. Rashi quotes the Chazal that we know from Sefer Shmos, and that is the Itztagninim, the astrologers of Paro told him, I see blood in their future. I see blood in their future. You have nothing to worry about. They're not going to make it. But we know the blood was Damila. That's what they saw. The Dam Pesach and Damila. That's what they saw. And therefore, not anything dangerous for Klal Yisrael. And up until this point, Rashi says the Erev Rav were always wondering, even though they came, but maybe the Jews aren't going to be so successful. Maybe there's this Dam. So today, now it's true, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Cherpa, this excuse, this idea of Dam causing them problems, everybody sees right now that it is not going to cause them problems. And therefore, because of Galosi, because it was revealed, the place was called Gilgal. It was called Gilgal, that was the first place when Israel camped, Ad Hayom Hazeh. And they encamped in Gilgal, Vayasvos HaPesach, they made the Pesach for the first time, Arbasar Yom HaChodesh, on the 14th day. As we know, according to the Torah, what we call Pesach is not Pesach in the Torah. What we call Pesach is called Chag HaMatzos in the Torah. Pesach in the Torah is the 14th day of Nisan, not the 15th when the Yontif starts. The 14th day is called Pesach because that is the day that we bring the Karban Pesach. It's eaten that night at the Seder, but it's brought on that day. So that's what the Pasuk says here. Vayasu as a Pesach. They did the Pesach on Pesach, which is the 14th day of the first month of Nisan. Obviously, it doesn't say Nisan. That's a Persian name, and those names were only given later. Barvos Yericho, and they did it in the plains of Yericho. Vayochlu, Pasuk Yud Aleph, very halachic Pasuk. Vayochlu me'avar ha'aretz mimachar ha'pesach, on the day after. Mimachar ha'pesach, on the next day, they ate matos v'kalui be'etzam hayom hazeh. That's when they started eating from the grain and the fruits of the land. Why? Because this was the Isra of Chadash, as we know. A separate topic on its own. How is it that for hundreds of years now, many people have not been makbun on Chadash, even though Baruch Hashem now more and more people are? But what's the Heter, so the Bach and the Baal Shem Tov, much as it's been written based on the Ramah. The Ramah already writes in Yoredeya what kulas might be, even though the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, and it's clear, the Gemara there on the Shulchan Aruch all say that one is not allowed to eat from new grain that has taken root since last year Pesach before this year on the second day of Pesach. So how is it that not everybody has fulfilled that halacha over the past couple hundred years? So topic of a separate shiur, but here it says, this is one of the sources. They waited until that day in order to partake of the new grain. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah on Daf Yud Gimel notes, if everything grew and was cut and was processed by non-Jews, you can't use that for the Chadash, for the Karban HaOmer. So what exactly did they use for the Karban HaOmer? Ask the Gemara on Daf Yud Gimel and Aleph and Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara goes through. Well, did it grow that quickly? Did they buy it from the non-Jews? Did this? So the Gemara's maskana is it grew miraculously fast from they went in. They planted, they grew, boom! It grew in 4 or 5 days, and that's Eretz Tzvi. Like a Tzvi is very fast, Eretz Yisrael is very fast. Ask the Chiddushei Haran there in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Gimel. Why didn't they just bring it from Eber HaYarden? That's also kosher. You can bring the Karban Omer from there. Says the Ran. The mitzvah of Achil is to bring it from Yehuda, from Eretz Yisrael, and you don't want to start off with a bidyeved. That's the Ran right there. Who else says this? The Gilyoni Ashaz, this Rabbi Yosef Engel says this is another example of a different answer to the question of the Pnei Yoshua that we mentioned earlier, of why we needed the Nes of Chanukah, right, of Tumah Hutshah B'Tzibur. Tumah Hutshah B'Tzibur, says the Gilyoni Ashaz, if it's just you're in the middle of the Avoda, one day there's Tumah. But to start, you can't start something with a bidyeved. Right, you have to start off perfect. And that's what he says about Chanukah, and that's what the Ran says. Here, why they had to bring from Yehuda, and why we required the nes of the grain growing very, very fast, right when they went into Eretz Yisrael. Okay, next pasuk, Vayishbos Hamani Acharos. And the mun stopped. The next day, right away when they started partaking of the grain here, the mun stopped. The Chassam Sofer writes, this is a remez to Haman being hanged that day. Vayishbos Haman stopped. Mimacharas. Right, like we say, where Haman Torah Minayin, Haman Eitzazeh, so we could fool around with the Nekudo sometimes. Here too, Chassam Sofer writes, Haman, stop Mimacharas. That's when he was hung. But again, the Pashas is, the man stopped, Bachlame Avor Haaretz, and Velo Haya Ode L'Bnei Yisrael Man. They didn't have any more man. Rashi quotes, this does not mean that the man stopped falling that day. The man stopped falling already a month earlier. They stopped falling when Moshe died, on Zion Adar. It's just that they had leftovers, and the man miraculously kept reproducing itself until this day, and this is the day that it ran out. But they had it until now, but it stopped falling even earlier. Fascinating question I saw the Musar Nevi'im deals with, and that is, the Gemara in Tainus tells us on Daf Tes that there were three great Nisan that we know took place in the Midbar, connected the three great personalities. Right? We had the Be'er, and we have the Mun, and we have the Anani HaKavod. The Anani HaKavod was from Aaron, the Be'er was from Miriam, and the Mun was from Moshe. And when each of them died, when Aaron died, then the Anani HaKavod disappeared, but they came back right away, Bishchus Moshe. And when Miriam died, the Be'er disappeared, but it came back, Bishchus Moshe. And then when Moshe died, all three of them really disappeared. All three of them disappeared. Ask the Musar HaNevi'im, if Moshe Rabbeinu was strong enough to have the schus of all three, so why weren't all three of them originally brought Bishchus Moshe? Why was Moshe only, quote-unquote, strong enough spiritually to bring them on? So he gives two answers. Number one, it's easier to bring something back than it is to start in the first place. So, number one, you can bring it back if it was already there. But to do it in the first place, it's much harder. Number one. Number two, Hashem wanted to be mezakeh others in the mitzvah. When you have five people able to do a mitzvah, it's better for five people to do it than for one person to do everything. Give them a chance. So Hashem wanted to be mezakeh, Aaron and Miriam also, to be, for them to be mezakeh, Klal Yisrael. Good, so the man stopped and they were eating from the grain in part of the natural world now in Eretz Yisrael. Vayihi, and now the final intriguing section of the perek. Vayihi bihi yos Yehoshua b'Yericho, Yeshua is outside of Yericho. He lifts up his eyes, vayar v'nei isho melenegdo. There's a man opposite him, v'charbo shlufa b'yado, and he has a sword. Vayelech Yehoshua elav, Yeshua goes to him. The Mefarshim point out, this is an Am Yisrael, Jewish type of soldier. You see something scary, you don't run away. You go. Vayelech Yeshua Elav, he goes to him. That's what the Sifri picks up on. Vayomer lo, halanu atayim letzareinu, who are you? Are you on our team or not? Vayomer lo, he says, no. Ki ani sar tzva Hashem atabasi. I am the sar tzva of Hashem. I've come now. And there's no other conversation that takes place besides take off your shoes. That's why, probably, that Chazal make up a conversation here, based on these two words, Atabasi. Halanu atayim letzareinu. The Gemara Megillah Daf Gimel says that Yeshua is saying, why are you here? And the Malach says, there's two problems here. You're getting ready for battle with Yericho, but there are two things you did wrong. Number one, you're so busy, you didn't bring the carbon tumid today. Number two, you were Mevatel Torah from Am Yisrael. Where's the shear? You should be having a shear in Torah now, even though they're at the battlefield. Why are you here? And he says, Atabasi. Chazal learned out from there in Daf Gimel that he's coming for Talmud Torah. And that's why Yeshua starts and gives shear, Lon Ba'omek Shel Halacha. And Rav Asher Weiss points out that it's not just a shear, it's Ba'omek Shel Halacha. He gives an E in shear. You would think that if you have a shear on the battlefield, you'll give something lighter, you'll give something Musari, Drush. But Omek Shel Halacha, you give a shear in Ksos and Nesivis and Rabbi Kiva Eger out on the battlefield. So that's the conversation that Chazal put in, probably because there is no conversation here. So he says, I'm here, Vayipo Yeshua Panav Artsi, Yeshua falls on his face. The Mefarshim point out how you allowed to bow down to a Malach, okay? Vayomer lo ma Adoni medaber alavdo. What do you want? What do you want from me? Vayomer Sar Tzva Hashem al Yeshua, and the Sar Tzva just says, remove your feet, because you're standing on Anmas Kodesh, and Yeshua does. That's the end of the conversation. Couple of points. First, I mentioned before that Rashi holds this Svar Tzvah Hashem was Michael. Number two, the Malbim. The Malbim here says that Yeshua really knew that he was a Svar Tzvah Hashem. But Yeshua knew there are two ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps Am Yisrael win battles. Number one is that Hashem does it himself. Totally. Right? Hashem Yilachem Lachem. Or Hashem helps you win the battles naturally. So Yeshua saw the Sar Tzva facing Am Yisrael. So he thought that it was going to be the latter. Oh, that you're here facing us, meaning we're going to have to do battle with Yericho. So he says, no. He says not. He says, remove your shoes. This is Admas Kodesh. This is holy ground. Hashem's going to do something here unbelievable. You're not going to be able to fathom it, something that's never taken place before in the history of the world. So the Malbim says that was the hidden conversation in between Yeshua and the Malach. One final point, and that is something that we mentioned in past Shiurim. What's the symbol of taking off one's shoes? Moshe Rabbeinu had to take off his shoes. Yeshua takes off his shoes. The Kohanim don't wear shoes in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Shlach HaKadosh gives an answer. The Shlach B'Shem the Marshal, that we say every morning, Sha'asali Kol Tzarki. And the Poskim say that we're supposed to think about our shoes when we say that. Why? Why is all Kol Tzarki our shoes? So the Kuzari tells us that there are four levels of being. Domeim, Tzomeach, Chai, and Medaber. Domeim, the inanimate objects, the Tzomeach, the growers, above the Domeim, the Chai, the animals, and the Medaber, people are on top of this pyramid of creations. Each being uses what's under them to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with, to have dominion over. The animals have dominion over the plants. The people have dominion over the animals. Kodesh Baruch, and that's what shoes symbolize, explains the Marshal. Shoes, which are made from animal skin, shoes, halachically are leather shoes, that symbolizes my dominion over everything in this world. That's Sha'asali called Tzarki. Why we wear shoes? Because that's symbol, why we have kavana for shoes. Because that symbolizes everything. Kodesh Baruch Hu says in Amakam Kados, Shal Nalechem Al Raglecha, take off your shoes. Take off your shoes, because here HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. And that's why in the two Plakam Kadosh, that's why in the Beis HaMikdash, maybe that's why in Yom Kippur we take off our shoes, because that the whole day is considered Kadosh, and therefore one has to understand the message of the taking off the shoes. The Musar Nevi'im quotes another idea, maybe take off your shoes is said to leaders, to Moshe and to Yeshua, because when you don't have shoes on, you even feel the tiny little pebbles. When you're a leader, you have to feel the tiny little mistakes also. You got to be perfect. You got to try to be the best you can. Maybe it also means feeling for the little pains of other people, right? When you're to be a true leader. Good. And the last point to mention, and that is the Mefarshim point out that by Yeshua it's a Shal Na'alcha, your shoe, singular. While by Moshe it's Shal Na'alcha, your shoes. As if Yeshua took off only one shoe, Moshe takes off two shoes. The Mishmat Zozav at the end of the parak quotes, maybe it's a second type of shoe that only Moshe, this quoting from the Shlach HaKadosh, that people have two types of shoes. We have an Ara of Behema, that are physical shoes, and we have Ara Adam, that's our physicality itself. And Moshe Rabbeinu was even able to take off his physicality. His second shoe, his second Levush, he was able to be Bekadish himself to such an extent, and that's even, if this Vart is true, before he became Moshe Rabbeinu. This is the first time HaKadosh Baruch Hu was appearing to him at the Sneh. Okay, and the parak leaves us on a cliffhanger. Yericho was Sogeris and Musugeris, Ein Yotzei, Ve'ein Ba. Okay, we'll stop here, but Hashem will continue next time with the story of Yericho.